passage here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 24. Now we ask you, brothers, and we can add sisters there because it's for everyone, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Almost 30 years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Spencerport, New York, a suburb of Rochester up near Lake Ontario, I received a solicitation. It was either in the mail or by phone, to try out a gym, get a gym membership. You know how you get those telemarketers calling you all the time? Well, I was young and naive, and I decided I'll try it out. They ended up convincing me to get a membership, which I did for 1 year, and it was a nice facility. From what I recall, and it's been a long time, it had an indoor track, had steam room and sauna, weights, squash, handball. I even think it had a swimming pool. So it was a nice place. And one of the days that I was working out, I went into the locker room, I had finished working out, and there were a couple of guys in there who obviously had spent a lot of time in the gym. They were very bulked up. Now, at the time, I was 153 pounds soaking wet. Legs weren't that bad, but I was kind of scrawny up above. And I'm in the middle sink, and these guys are flexing in front of the mirror next to me. I'm like, I hope they don't hit me. I mean, they had muscles on their muscles. They were really, really big people, okay? And I'm sitting, and I'm like, wow. And they were tall, too. I'm like, I am so intimidated. These guys are so big. Now, others of you, you know, maybe like Phil will see that and go, yeah, baby, that's what I want, man, muscle, you know, because he's a bodybuilder kind of thing. So he'd look at that, instead of being intimidated, he may want to imitate. You know, you cut out the little muscle pictures, and you stick them on your mirror, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to put the time and effort. I'm going to get those muscles. So you can be intimidated, or you can try to imitate. Most of you could care less. It's your thing, not mine. Now, why do I share that story? Because I believe in the spiritual realm, those principles apply when it comes to prayer. Last week, I gave you a core workout, a very simple core workout. You were to pray at least four times a prayer based on Scripture. One time I asked you to try to stop by the church either Wednesday intercession, Thursday intercession, or this morning intercession. And then to, at the end of the service last week, gather together and do a one-sentence prayer. Now for some of you, you took to it like a duck took to water. Yeah, baby, I want to do that. I want to get my prayer muscles going. I want to bulk up in prayer. I want to be a prayer warrior. For you, it's exciting when you think about praying. Some of you, however, might look at other people that are prayer warriors and go, I'll never be like that. You're intimidated by it. I hope, however, that the bulk of you didn't say, who cares? It's very important that our congregation catches a vision of prayer. That we not so much do a core workout, that's just a means to an end. A humorous way to challenge this congregation to pray. It's all part of God getting us ready, training us, getting us ready to race, to fulfill the vision that God has given us as a church to be a place of hope, healing, and wholeness. It's part of learning, as we talked about the last couple weeks, those eight qualities that define healthy churches, these principles that are found in Scripture that researchers have discovered, confirm, yeah, those are characteristics that are found in healthy churches. Things like a passionate spirituality, loving relationships, empowering leadership, gift-oriented ministry, holistic small groups, inspiring worship services, need-oriented evangelism, functional structures. That when these eight qualities are found in churches in increasing measure, those churches are healthy churches. Now, we've been focusing on passion spirituality as the first of the eight because we want to take a look at what does that mean in practical terms. And what they've seen is that a person that is passionate about their spirituality, it's more than just function. It's more than just form. There's a reality to it. That prayer isn't just something people do to get it done. It isn't just 15 seconds prayer before an hour's meal. It is a way of life that people who have caught a passion spirituality, prayer for them is a real thing that goes on all the time. They're praying. They're going to put it this way, a spiritually healthy church will look like this when it comes to prayer. Prayer will permeate the church. It'll permeate the individual lives of the believers, and it'll permeate the church. Prayer in healthy churches isn't restricted to one or two or three intercessors who do the bulk of the praying for the body. In healthy churches, people get it, that getting in shape in the spiritual gym is worth it. They're enthused about their faith. They want to live out their faith on a regular basis, and part of that is their prayer life. It's not a duty. It's a delight. It's not a job. It's a joy. Prayer is something that they've connected with and they get it. And that's why we're stressing this first point of the prayer, why I'm doing some practical things. I'm trying to take you to the gym. Now, I recognize some of you are spiritually flabby. I get that. Some of you got little, prayer muscles that are flapping in the wind, because they haven't been used in so long. So I'm humorously and yet strongly trying to encourage you, catch a vision of what can be here with prayer. Some of you already got it. Some of you are there. You look at this and you say, oh yeah, I want to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually. Like, yeah, yeah. See, that verse shows up in a bunch of verses at the end of 1 Thessalonians 5 where Paul's giving some final commands. Paul has a tendency to spend the first half of or two-thirds of his books in doctrine, telling us what to believe, and then the last part of the book to tell us how we live based on what we believe. And in this last section, he wants to challenge believers to honor those who are spiritually in authority over you, to get along with each other, to encourage one another, to not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't throw out the gifts of the Spirit, but on the other hand, don't swallow them hook, line, and sinker either. Test them. Hold on to the good. He wants us to live in holiness. He wants us to live joyful lives. He's writing in the context of a church whose the main theme in this book is about the Lord's return. That for Paul, the return of Christ, future, has implications present. For Paul, it wasn't just go somewhere, climb on top of a mountain, and wait for Jesus to come back wearing white sheets. For Paul, it was because he's coming back, because you have a blessed hope, it shows up in day-to-day living down here. And one of those ways it shows up is you stay in contact with the commander-in-chief. You pray continually. Now, for some of you, you see people that pray continually, that spend hours in prayer, and you start drooling. You're like, yeah, baby. You hear about the great women and men of God who spent time in prayer. You're like, I'm there. I'm all over that. Like white on rice. I'm excited to pray. For you, you can't wait to hit prayer. You hit prayer in the morning. You hit prayer at night. You hit prayer in the middle of the day. You're just praying all the time. Because for you, it's good. You get it. You understand that when Paul said pray continually in 1 Thessalonians 5, it wasn't just to that church as an isolated command. It was a way of life that he repeats again in Ephesians 6. When he says, basically, pray all the time with all kinds of prayers and all occasions for all the saints. Never stop praying all the time. I mean, all. He wants us to get this about praying. He'll do it again in Colossians chapter 4 when he says, be devoted to prayer. From Paul's perspective, prayer was not something as an add-on to the church a take it or leave it cafeteria command. Yeah, I don't really want that. Friday, I did a part-time subbing at the school, and I had part of the subbing was for the kids that were in-school suspension. We walked into the cafeteria because I had them for that 30-minute period, and we walked in, and she said, okay, you want some pizza? Yeah, get some pizza. You want some broccoli with that? And they just kind of walked on. Some people look at prayer like that. Oh, yeah, we can get hyped up in service. Yeah, that's great. Want some prayer with that? But not some folks. Some of you want that prayer. You long for it. You get it. Because you get James 5, verse 16, that the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. You want those prayer muscles. So you're willing to put the time in to work those prayer muscles. So you're ready to go. To you, the only command I would give you, the only instruction I would give you is this. Just be careful that as you get those muscles, you don't get to a point where you say, I've arrived. Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 12 when he says, don't be lacking in zeal. Don't let the spiritual fervor begin to diminish. Don't let the flame go out. Because once you get there and you get in shape and you've worked and you've worked and you've worked and you've got all these muscles, you go like, yeah, there, I'm there, watch me. Yeah, I'm good. Big Mac for me today. Don't coast. If you love praying, the only thing I encourage you is don't coast. Don't let it become so familiar that you lose that sense of wonder in entering his presence. Don't take pride like those guys did flexing in front of the mirror either. It's not about you. But prayer. So if you're one of those that wants to imitate those prayer warriors that you read in the scripture, great. Go for it. Pray. But what about those of you who are intimidated by the prayer people? Well, you know, Pastor Ray, he goes out and walks and pray every morning. So, you know, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. It's too cold or it's too much work or intimidated. So for you, it's like, well, you know what? He's the pastor. So we'll put him up on the pedestal. He'll do the praying for us. No, we need to do the praying for each other and for ourselves. So how do we get challenged? Well, look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17. He didn't say you had to have these great muscles to pray. You just had to have a great God in whose faith. See, mustard seed faith is enough. You think, well, you know, I just can't pray the way you do. I just, you know, I'm not up to that level yet. I just haven't worked up. I just can't. Stop worrying about what everyone else can do. It's not about great faith so much as it's faith in a great God that makes the difference. Mustard seed, small. If it's in the right place, great. Now, he'll go on to add more than just this. This certainly, the promise is there, you know, just a little faith. But he also, back in Matthew chapter 7, says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Him who knocks, the door is open. What a promise. I want to challenge those of you who think, I can't do that. You watch someone doing a 200-pound, you know, bench press of prayer, and you're like, oh, I'll never be able to do that. But you can start somewhere. These guys didn't start with 200 pounds or 300 pounds. They started small. You can too, which is why I've given you these core workouts. Grab one of them. It's a 3-pound weight, for pity's sake. Do a little prayer muscle with 3-pounders. Get till that's comfortable, and then add a little bit more weight. But you got to start somewhere. And the promise says you can start as small as a grain of mustard seed. You don't have to go over and put one of them big monster weights on the end of the bar. You can start with one of them little purple ones. You know what I'm talking about when you go to the gym? Little purple ones. The little blue ones. The little red ones. Get a can of soup for all I care. Just get moving. Don't just sit there and let the prayer muscles become more and more flabby. I encourage you, little is okay to start. Mustard seed size is enough. Asking is a start. Seeking is a start. Knocking is a start. It's available to you. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 that whatever you ask for, believe that you've received it and it's yours. trust in faith that what you've asked for, God is able to provide an answer. See, God's given amazing promises when it comes to prayer. Look at 1 John chapter 5. He said that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we asked of him. Wow! Now, one of the things I noticed about this is when I first started the Christian life a long time ago, I was convinced I knew what was best for my life. You ever do that? You're on God's Ways and Means Committee. You know how to direct the Almighty as to what's best for your life. But you know what you discover as you grow and mature in the faith? You don't know squat. God does. Now, more and more you want your will to line up with his. That's that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But what I learn is that those things that I think I want, those things that I think I need are really those things that I want. God knows what I truly do need. So I'm learning to pause and ask, so what do you think would be best for this situation? Because I think it would be great to be, well, let's just do this. Just, this is it, God. You give me this, I'm good. Really? You think so? Yeah, really. Just give it to me and I'm good. Wow, that blew up in my face. Probably not the best thing to ask for. Often when we pray, we are praying so that our lives will be calm, so that our lives will be good, so that our lives will be peaceful. You know, sometimes that's not the best prayer to pray. What happens if you have a place that all it gets is sunshine? What do you get? Drought. Desert. Florida. No! No, Florida gets rain. Here's the thing. All sun and no rain, you get barren. We need those seasons of rain in our lives, but God is good and knows that those rain times are exactly what we need to mature in Christ. But to pray, to know that when you have the mind of Christ, it says ask, seek, and knock, when you seek and you know what the Lord's will is on a situation and he's spoken that into your heart, you can pray with complete confidence in praying according to his will that he hears you. And if you know that he hears you, you know that you have what you asked of him. Or how about Philippians chapter 4? Don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer, petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what happens? The peace of God sets up a guard over your heart and mind. Keeps you in peace. For those of you who are intimidated, for those of you who look around and see others that think they're more prayer warriors, take your eyes off the guys flexing in the mirror and put your eyes back on what God has promised you in here. He's given you some amazing prayer promises, and he invites you and calls you to enter into prayer. He calls you to pick up some prayer weights and begin working those prayer muscles. Begin developing those prayer muscles. And what you'll notice as you do that by faith, over time you go, where did you come from? Cool. Hey, you're going up instead of down. You were hanging. Now you're up. I like that. You start to get in shape. But what about the third group? Not the group that wants to imitate or the group that feels intimidated, but the group that could care less. What about that group? What do we do with that group? I'm going to step on some toes right now on that group. I'm telling you up front. Prayerlessness. We can chalk some of it up to, I really don't know how to pray. But you no longer can use that as an excuse because I'm doing some core workouts with you showing you how to pray. So when you get right down to it, prayerlessness, more often than not, is rooted in self-sufficiency. We don't pray because we really don't see the need or the importance to pray. So what does John 15 tell us about prayer? Jesus said, I'm the vine. You're the branches. You remain in me, and I remain in you. You're going to bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the heart of prayer. That's the reason. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. When it comes to the spiritual realities of life, all that we do is because God has given us grace. If for one moment God chooses to withhold his grace and his thought towards you, you're gone. He holds all things together, it says in Colossians. One thought off, boom, you're gone. So when I pray, when I get to the heart of prayer, what it is prayer acknowledges that I am not self-sufficient, but that I am Christ-sufficient. Prayer acknowledges that on my own, I can't do anything of eternal value. Prayer says, God, I'm absolutely desperate for you because I can't do anything else apart from you. I can't pastor this flock without God's unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. I can't do what he's called me to do in this vision of the ministry to lead this church towards his promised land unless I am connected to the vine, because I can have a little life in me because I was connected to the vine, but if I disconnect from the vine, that life will eventually come out and nothing will be left. See, you can operate for a season without prayer because of your linkage to Christ to begin with, but the longer you stay disconnected, the less and less life will be in you. But when I am connected, when I am united with Christ, when I am remaining in Christ, abiding in Christ, drawing life from Christ, then it is not the ray life that flows into this body. It is the Christ life through a yielded vessel that flows into this body. And that's what transforms lives. And that's not just for me as a pastor. That's for all of us. It isn't just, well, Pastor Ray, he really needs to pray because he's the spiritual leader. Every one of you has been called in Christ to make a difference in this world. And you and I can't do that on our own strength or power. Your programs won't do it. Your machinery won't do it. Your ideas won't do it. Only Christ in you through the Spirit of God can make a difference. And how does that flow? How does that life flow as we remain and abide in Christ? So when we don't pray, what we're saying is, thank you very much, need your salvation, but I can handle the rest on my own. No, you can't, and no, I can't. And so our call to pray flows out of this sense of, I can't do this without Christ. Martin Luther, the great giant of the Reformation, recognized this. He said, if I didn't spend the first 2 hours in prayer every morning, then the devil got the victory during the day. He said, sometimes I'm so busy, I got to spend at least 3 hours in prayer. What? Is that counterintuitive? You're so busy that you can't do your work until you've spent, well, from the earthly perspective, wouldn't it make more sense cut the prayer down and use the time? No, Luther understood something. Eternal value didn't come through his effort and work. It came through Christ. Came through Christ. If you have been with Christ and God's glory is resting on you, then he is able to do through you in 10 seconds what you can't accomplish in 10 hours. You could be sharing with somebody and you could be trying to get them to see something, and you're trying on your own strength, but the Holy Spirit resting on you can give you the right word at the right time that speaks into their life, and they're changed and transformed. Jesus himself would often withdraw to lonely places and pray to gain the heart of the Father for whatever situation he was facing. To those of you who did not take the challenge, it's not about doing the core workout. If you pray and you do the core workout, I'm okay with that. The core workout wasn't the issue. The core workout was to motivate you to pray. And so if prayer is not a way of life, my job today is not to take a club and whack you over the head with it. But my job is to challenge you and ask, why not? Why aren't you praying? Why isn't prayer a way of life? Where is this heart of prayer? Why is it that you look at people with spiritual muscles and go, who cares? Does it get rooted in this self-sufficient mindset that says, I can do this. James put it this way in James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. Wow, what an indictment. The reason you don't see what you want to see, the reason we don't get all that God's called us to get is not because God has failed. You and I are as close to God today as we want to be. Why? Because he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Now, that's not that you make God move. God already took the initiative. He moved through Jesus Christ. But now he's calling you and calling me into his presence to be with him, to hang with him. And so you right now, today, are as close as you want to be. All of the commitments you made this last week have either moved you closer or further from that objective. Over this last week, every choice you make through the week affects you when you show up here today. It's true of me. If I haven't spent time with God, oh, I can draw from resources that I've gleaned for a while, just like that branch can do it for a while. But over time, it'll be quite obvious, Pastor stopped praying. It's become formal for Pastor. See, you know if I've been with the Father. Those around you will know if you're with the Lord because you carry his presence. Remember Moses, after he had been with the Lord, he glowed in the dark? He had to wear a veil because he was freaking people out because he was glowing. I want some glowers here. I want to see the Church of Jesus Christ at Calvary Assembly glowing in the dark because we got dark, but we don't have glowing yet. We want to be God's nightlights in the dark. And that won't happen if you and I are disconnected from the light. So we're called. He's wooing us. He's drawing us. He's saying, come into my presence. You have not because you ask not. You're not glowing because you don't have my batteries in you yet. Come on. Connect with me. Now, this whole thing of prayer, though, he goes on in James to say, you have not because you ask not, but when you ask, you don't get anything because you ask for the wrong motive, that you may consume it on your lusts. Folks, I don't want you to see prayer as, yep, put the prayer coin in the machine and bing, here comes God's answer. Yeah, baby. Oh, I want the big one. I wonder if I get that hook just right. Yeah, push the little one. Oh, yeah, got it. No. See, John 14 tells me this. Jesus said that we can ask whatever we will in his name so that the Father would be glorified in the Son. Prayer ultimately comes full circle back to God. Does this make sense? Now, I cannot manipulate or force you to pray. That's your choice. That's totally your choice. My grade with God isn't dependent upon whether you do it or not. That's between you and the Lord. But I will tell you this, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we're going to pray. And if I have to stay long enough to outlive you and you die and God brings a bunch of people in that will pray, then I'll stay here until you die and God brings in somebody else. Because I'm not leaving until God fulfills his vision to Schoharie County and to this church. I will not let go of what God says. I won't let go until you bless us, Lord. My heart cries, God, bring this awakening to our valley. I don't believe it'll happen with one or two or three. I believe the church has to catch a vision of praying, of interceding. So let's get practical. Let's get real in terms of how do we pray. We did core workout last week. I gave you a couple of pound weights. I'm going to raise it by 1 pound this week. Okay? One thing that I would encourage you to try, and this is, again, this is not scripture in the sense of thou shalt not. This is a help. Help you to fulfill that pray continually. I want to challenge you this week to take at least 3 or 4 days and pray what's known as an ACTS prayer. A-C-T-S, with it being an acronym. A stands for adoration. That's where you just hang with God and you focus on who he is. And then you move to C, which is confession. Confession is letting the Holy Spirit search your heart. That Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, test me. Know my anxious thoughts, see if there's any offensive way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. The Bible says the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can't trust your own head, so let the Holy Spirit convict you. But as he shows you, then you take that season in your prayer time for repentance, confession of sin, and repentance, that you turn from what you were doing to what he wants you to do. And then move to T, which stands for thanksgiving. Adoration, who he is, thanksgiving, what he's done. And then finish with S, which is supplication. Your petitions, your prayers. Now, you can do this, acts prayers, off and on through the day. You can do it at a red light. You can do it in Walmart. You can do it in your home. It's just a little guide to assist you. It's like you're carrying a 3-pound weight with you. Or you're carrying, my dad, when he got a little bit older, my dad had polio in his left shoulder. I never knew that until after he had died. They told me, really? I always wondered why he had those little hand grippers to strengthen his grip. He'd just carry it around with him. Like, what's he doing that for? But he was trying to strengthen that, strengthen the grip. In a sense, that's what you want to do. We want you to strengthen the grip on God. God, yeah, you are cool. Man, I adore you. Lord, you're so good, and I'm not always so good. Will you show me those areas I need to repent of? Ooh, that one hurt, Lord. Okay, I confess that, and I repent. Grip, grip, grip. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to me. Thank you for showing me. My, you're so good. Thank you. Grip, grip. And Lord, I just pray that as you work in me, that I be open to what you want to do. And I also pray for my family. Grip, grip. ACTS could take 3 to 5 minutes, but do some of those prayers. Now, once you've done that a few times and you find that that's kind of light, it's only 3 pounds, let's move up a little bit. Let's move to using the Lord's Prayer as a model. This one's a little bit longer. Jesus gave the prayer to his disciples after they had watched him pray. I talked about this last week, that some of us will first start praying, we get on our knees, oh God, and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray everything we think of, and we look at our watch. Wow, that's 2.5 minutes. Now what do I do? The disciples probably had something like that, but then they watched Jesus pray. And they went, wow. Wow. And he gets done. They go, can you teach us to do that? That was like really good. And so Jesus gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer. It wasn't necessarily he wanted them to repeat it word for word all the time, although there's nothing wrong with it. It's a model for prayer. It starts off with an address and adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with praising God for who he is. It's calling him Father. It's recognizing relationship through Jesus Christ. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There I'm crying for guidance, show me, and submission. Whatever your will is, I'm going to do that, Lord. I want your will. Maybe you're going through a situation, you know which direction to turn. My son Jonathan right now is on his way to Rochester. He's got a college interview thing up at Roberts Weston. He's trying to discern what is the will of the Lord for him for college. This guidance, Lord, would you show me what you want? Direct my path, Lord, because I want what you want for my life. So there's the guidance and there's a submission. And then we go on to petition. Give us this day our daily bread. This isn't just, Lord, can I have some Wonder Bread? Daily bread is all that you need for survival. So it's food, it's clothing, it's shelter. It's all of those necessities of life that allow you to function. But notice, give us this day. It's not like, okay, Lord, I'm going to store this baby up. Nothing wrong with, you know, savings, whatever, but God wants us to learn to trust him. Give us this day. Remind me daily manna to draw from you. And then we move on to confession and forgiveness. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For some of us who have grievances and grudges towards others, this could be why we were there for a bit. Lord, you know so-and-so in the church? They looked at me the wrong way. You know my wife? Oh, Lord, you know my wife. Now, I'm not saying that because I love my wife. I'm just using that as an example. She's not here, can't defend herself, so I am not speaking against her. No, I love my wife. I love my wife. But what I'm saying is that that's the season where we deal with our stuff with him and we deal with our stuff with other people. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then we move to protection and deliverance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from it. By the way, lead us not into temptation sounds like God's dragging us into temptation. Oh, God, no, don't leave me there. Oh, God. No. The way it's defined is, Lord, when I face the test, don't let me crash and burn. Because you're going to face temptations and trials. And what he's saying is, Lord, when I get there, I want to overcome. I don't want to crash and burn. Protect me, Lord. Deliver me from this. And then he finishes with praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now, last week we showed you doing scripture prayers. Those didn't take long. You find a prayer in the Bible, you make it your own. This one's a little more work. You actually have to do your own words this week. See, we're going a little bit stronger in our workout. And we start with the small of just the, excuse me, of the few pound weights by doing the acts. And then you expand to at least once more and do the Lord's Prayer prayer. And then the final thing we're going to do together, oh no, he's going to do it again. Relax. I'm not going to do this every week, probably. So here's what we're going to have you do to finish. We're going to have you break up into prayer clusters, about four or five people, just like we did last time. And we're going to have you pray around the circle, one sentence prayer. And it's going to say, help me, Lord, to, and you fill in the blank. It could be as simple as, help me, Lord, to love. Help me, Lord, to be patient. It's a one-sentence prayer. Now, Pastor, why are you doing this? Why are you making this? I'm a peeper. I'm not a shouter. I'm a peeper. I don't pray out loud because I'm trying to stretch you. Because what I'd love to be able to do on a Sunday morning is go, Cynthia, would you take us to the Lord in prayer today? And not worry that the girl's going to go into a coronary heart attack. I need a defibrillator or something like that. I want her to develop those spiritual muscles that any one of you is ready to have the Spirit of God hit you and anoint you to pray. Because that's healthy. That's prayer that's permeating the body. I'm not saying she has to get up there and do a 20-minute prayer. I think if she did, I'd need the defibrillator. Wow, God's in the place. But the point I'm trying to do is challenge you to pray. Does this make sense, church? Okay? So you can like freak out if I have you do this? You can do this. I know you can't. It's a one. I know you can talk because I talk to you. So you're capable of talking. You're just going to talk to him. And just to be others agreeing with you. All right? As they say in football, break. Let's go. Four or five people. Get in a circle. Come on, four or five prayer people. Let's go. Let's break. Here's what Paul said to the church of Ephesus that is just as true today. Now to him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. Go in the grace of our God and do those core workouts this week, church.